Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Some positivity, I would say, on the return of sports, although I still think it's absolutely insane that most sports leagues aren't already back when you look at the data rolling in on the coronavirus and the fact that it is rapidly sliding away. And we're still talking about the NBA coming back on July 31st. And Major League Baseball is still dilling and dallying as they go back and forth. Sounds like MLS is working towards a closer return. But I hit on this last week, but I think it's worth repeating. If you look at the countries of England, France, Spain, and Italy in Europe, all of them have infinitely worse outbreaks, death rate than the United States does. I know a lot of people don't talk about it because like, oh, the United States is the worst ever. We have the most cases. Like, you have to adjust for per capita. And we're a lot bigger country than those European countries are. If you adjust per capita, Italy, Spain, France, all of them have worse outbreaks and deaths than we did. Okay? So they're all back. We've got the EPL back training in England. We've got La Liga back in Spain. And we have Serie A coming back in Italy. And yet they had an infinitely worse outbreak in those countries than we did. And their sports teams are going to be back 6 weeks before ours are. If anything, we should be back before they are. Now, the NBA decision is maybe the most intriguing because Major League Baseball has blown it, but Major League Baseball always has to go head-to-head with football when it gets to the World Series and its postseason in October. This is utterly ridiculous to me. The NBA is making the decision now to go, according to the report, and you just heard Eddie Garcia break it down, their Game 7 wouldn't happen until October 12th under the calendar that they have proposed right now. So if you go look at the calendar and think about October 12th as being their Game 7, their Game 7 would be on Monday night, going head-to-head with Monday Night Football, in theory, and Monday Night Football would crush the NBA Game 7, I think. I think more people would watch Monday Night Football head-to-head than would watch Game 7. And I think in general, the NBA would have a lot of difficulty competing with college football and with the NFL. And for a long time, we had that conversation about, hey, would college football come back? Would the NFL come back? I think we've taken the next step because I don't know if you saw this, but USC announced, I believe, that they will come back for classes on August 17th, which means that basically, I know the Pac-12 state schools still have to figure out what's going on with UCLA and Cal. I don't think they've officially announced what their calendar will look like. But all that talk about whether USC and Alabama would play to start the season, it seems like that is now a go, that will be taking place. And I think we're going to not only have the games taking place, I think we're going to have a lot of fans there. I think it's possible we're going to have totally full stadiums. I think, in fact, it's very likely that we will have totally full stadiums as you look at the trajectory. Now, the state of Texas is already said that 25% capacity can't exist for their outdoor sporting events in that state. And now there is talk that there will be crowds present potentially for NASCAR in June in Florida. So we've gone pretty quickly from, will there be sports? The answer is yes, because remember, there's people out there listening to me right now who were like, nothing's going to happen until 2021. It might be 2022. Remember the state of California? Gavin Newsom's like, oh, there's no events that are going to happen that have crowds in the state of California until 2021. And every time you put on the news now, there's tens of thousands of people walking around protesting. And I don't want to get into the protesting angle here, but there's not much difference from a viral perspective from people protesting or people going to a sporting event. What I mean by that is the virus doesn't discriminate in how it spreads based on what the motivations are for the people getting together and moving about in close concert. So if you are able to have tens of thousands of people standing shoulder to shoulder all over the country to protest, and you're doing that, why could you not have people go to games? I think there are a lot of people asking that question. And again, from a viral perspective, it's not about what the motivation is for the protest. People are like, well, it's a lot more serious to be protesting than it is to go to a football game. Okay. But from a viral perspective, there's no difference. The virus doesn't care why people are standing close together when it decides when it's able to spread. So we've moved really quickly from we can't do anything, we can't have big crowds ever again, to now we are talking about going to have games with crowds present. I think it's just a no-brainer. I think it's an absolute no-brainer that we will have maybe full stadiums for college football and the NFL this fall. And partly that's a function of the numbers declining rapidly with the coronavirus. Now, maybe it's possible that because all these protests, we're going to see a lot more infections. But if that happens, by and large, the people who are getting infected are going to tend to be younger. So the question would be, can we just keep them away from older people? Because if you are under the age of 24, you're more likely to be struck by lightning than you are to die of the coronavirus. By the way, that October 12th game, that game 7 of the NBA Finals would compete with, Chargers at Saints, which is week 5 of the NFL season. The question I would have in general about the way the NFL season is going to break down going head-to-head with the NBA is, I think the NFL teams are going to be playing in their home stadiums, and I think they'll be playing with at least, you know, every state will have a different rule probably that they put in place, but I think they'll be playing in front of at least a decent number of fans. So why is the NBA going to Disney World? Right? I mean, like the NBA going to Disney World, the NBA seems so far behind here now. And let me explain what I mean. The NBA going to Disney World initially was about them being able to quarantine and being able to avoid having to travel and have exposure to other people. But Disney World is going to be open up for 3 weeks for people to be able to go to Disney World before the NBA postseason or before the NBA season restarts on July 31st. So what is the point here of being at Disney World now when in theory by July 31st, I think almost every team could be playing at home in their home arena. Now, the NBA may not want to bring back fans on July 31st, and I certainly understand the idea of being careful there. But by July 31st, things are going to look substantially different in terms of health than they do now. I think the NBA is setting itself up to look ridiculous by being located at Disney World when 1 month later, NFL and college football teams are going to be playing in front of, you know, potentially full crowds for their games. Does this make sense to you guys? Let me bring in the crew. Danny G, does that make sense to you? Like, well, everybody knows that I am of the opinion that Major League Baseball, the NBA, MLS, NHL, they should all already be back. But when you look at the idea of the NBA not starting until July 31st, that's almost 2 months from now. And in 2 months, I think this virus is going to be significantly less of an issue than it is now. It may almost be gone in terms of an overall impact in the nation, at least for the summer. and then the NBA is still going to be at Disney World? I mean, when you can go to Harry Potter Land and you can go to water parks and you can go to the Magic Kingdom at Disney World and the NBA is still playing with no crowds present, and then every college and NFL team is going to have some variation, I believe, of crowds present for their games. Doesn't it seem a little bit ridiculous?
Makes no sense. The Disney World plan should have been in action right now.
Amen.
Like baseball players should have been training already.
Be like, this makes sense. But the entire purpose of a quarantine, when we started talking about this, like all of the Vegas casinos, I believe I'm correct in this, open tomorrow. So you're going to be able to go to casinos all over the country. You're going to be able to go to amusement parks. And the NBA is going to be quarantining its players, and you're not going to be able to watch any of their games, and they have to be in one location. It's nonsensical.
They're going to be acting as if it's phase two when everybody else in the country is in phase three.
Everybody else in the country is just over the coronavirus. Well, I think there's some truth to that.
Yeah, and that was my next thing I was going to say, was that if I can stand in line for a theme park, and now we know that Disney's going to take all the precautions. They're going to put the thing to your forehead and take everybody's temperature. Why can't the arenas do that? And if they need the public to sign a waiver, I think a lot of people will do that because, as you mentioned, we've seen hundreds of thousands of people standing side by side right now. So, look, we just want sports back. If you are scared of liability, then put that on the fans. If I want to go see my team and I'm required to wear a mask and get my temperature taken and I have to sign something, if I really want to see them in person, I'm going to do whatever it takes to see my team.
I don't even know that you need crowds. I just think you can play in the home arenas. Like, why not start the NBA postseason off in the home arenas so you're not requiring the players or the families to relocate anywhere?
Well, couldn't they do it to, you know, a certain sized crowd is what we thought was going to happen with college
football?
The NBA
is going to be insane. That's what they're going to look like is ridiculous, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think they'll have to amend things, because a month into the NBA postseason, when it's September, and there are huge crowds watching college football games in person, and the NBA is in Orlando playing games in a gym with no fans, it's going to look seismically different on television between the NFL and between the NBA. And I think the NBA is going to end up calling an audible on the idea of playing at Disney World and say, actually, you know what? We can go back to our home arenas. I'm not saying if they want to be super conservative and just play in front of no crowds, I understand that. But there's going to be an easy way for the players to travel, you know, by that time. They've all have private jets. So I would think most players would rather stay in their hometowns and play in the home gyms, even if there aren't a substantial number of crowds present, amount of people present. Dub, does this sound crazy to you now? Like, it seems to me like the NBA is not adjusting to on-the-ground news. Major League Baseball is just incompetent, but at least you can point to Major League Baseball, even though it's not a very good endorsement, and say, well, these millionaires and billionaires are fighting, because it doesn't seem like Major League Baseball is at all focused on the actual health impact now. They've moved on to how much money are we going to get to play, which stinks, and they should already be back too. But I think baseball at least is of the opinion they need to come back. And it seems like baseball will be taking place in the home stadiums. And I think there's a good chance there will be fans present. Whereas the NBA, it sounds like they've got a plan that would have made sense in March, only it's almost going to be August before they actually debut it.
Yeah, the whole Disney World thing at this moment makes no sense. It, like Danny G said, it makes sense that they're playing right now.
Yeah.
But by the time they're having the games, they're going to be doing the overhead blimp shots of Disney World where they're playing, and there's going to be thousands of people waiting in line for roller coasters.
That's right. It's going to look ridiculous. People are going to be like, wait a minute, why can you go to – why can tens of thousands of people literally be next door to where the NBA is playing in amusement park lines? Like, you can be standing in line for Splash Mountain or Splash Mountain or Space Mountain, if you're familiar with the Magic Kingdom in Orlando at all, and you're not able to sit and watch an NBA game. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
And you just mentioned the private planes. I mean, it's not like the Heat are getting on a Southwest flight to fly to Indianapolis with a bunch of other people.
They're not the C boarding group.
They got their own plane. They're going to be pretty much quarantined on the plane. They'll be quarantined during the game, and then they get on the plane and go home. I just don't even, it makes literally no sense to me.
Eddie, I haven't heard a lot of people talking about this, but it's important if you are the commissioner or you are the leader of a league to evolve with the information that you receive. The NBA's idea to play at Disney World made sense in March when we started talking about it on this show. It made sense in April. It makes zero sense when they are starting on July 31st, literally right as August is arriving. Even now, on June the 3rd, it makes no sense. It certainly doesn't make sense as you consider where we're going to be as a country on July 31st.
I don't know if Adam Silver has been asked about it. Maybe that will now come up. But I wonder if they're secretly keeping the door open to change their mind as things evolve. I thought I heard, and this doesn't make any sense unless they're considering about changing their mind. I thought I heard that the final schedule was still going to include travel days, which makes no sense. There's no traveling going on. Why would they do that? Unless maybe they're hedging their bets a little bit and thinking that
they may be able to do it in person home court.
Right, right.
Yeah. Or they're just the including travel days is just an acknowledgement that guys' bodies need the recovery, and part of the travel day is about the recovery issues. But I think if the NBA, for instance, if the NBA wanted to make an adjustment and go back to traveling, I think they could go back to a 2-3-2, right? The format that used to exist for a 7-game series, so you limit how many flights you have to take. Instead of right now, you go 2 games to the, you know, the home team, 2 games to the road team, and then you go 1-1-1. Right, which requires a lot more travel in order to do that 1-1-1. I would just adjust it for this season to a 2-3-2, especially because it doesn't seem like there's going to be any home court at all based on the NBA's suggestions. Now, I do understand how some leagues could end up in complicated situations when it comes to crowds coming back. For instance, the states that opened first, whether it's Florida, Georgia, Tennessee or Texas, all of which have multiple sports teams in them, pro sports teams in them, could they make the decision to allow crowds, whereas, let's say, teams from New York and California could not? That's a little bit interesting, right? Because then you're trying to adjust for a home crowd advantage that, say, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might have, but Tom Brady's old team, the New England Patriots, might not, right? Because Boston has had more severe issues than Tampa has. So is it possible that Tampa's like, hey, everybody show up, you're easy and able to come and hang out and watch the game here, and then if you're a New England Patriots fan, you can't? Or even wilder in division, you think about the way that, let's say, the teams from the Jets and the Patriots and the Bills might have a different rule than the Miami Dolphins. So how does that potentially impact things if the Dolphins could have a home crowd and a home field advantage, and then when they traveled to Foxborough or they traveled to up to New Jersey to play against the Jets, or who knows what's going to happen in Buffalo, there's no home crowd. In theory, that would be a pretty good advantage for the Miami Dolphins in that division. What do you think about this, Roberto? Does it sound like the NBA's plan might have made sense in March or April, but makes no sense as we think about August?
When you mentioned baseball, I just mentioned about to Danny off the air, but the same thing that you mentioned about baseball not even having their whole damn thing is discussing money and not even talking about the coronavirus. Part of the problem is also now I think they're discussing is the owner's whole issue was like, we're not going to have fans in the ballpark, so we're going to lose this certain amount of money. Now the problem is in Florida and in Texas, I believe they already said that they have. Stadiums can have up to 20% of fans, so
like a full crowd for the Miami Marlins or the Tampa Bay Rays.
Exactly. So you think the Rangers and the Astros are not going to have fans in their stadiums when they're allowed to? Of course they are. So that's probably part of the issue of what they're discussing.
Yeah, and look, baseball has dillied and dallied to such an extent that they may be able to talk about having fans back by August 1 or whatever the case may be. But I just think, as you look at this, the NBA has not adjusted in real time and come up with a plan that makes sense based on the current data. It's like they came up with a plan in April and they're sticking to it, even though 2 months from now, it's going to look ridiculous. I really do think that's a good analogy from Dub, where if you had a blimp like flying over Orlando, you would have Disney World, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, not only those three, but also down the road a little bit, Universal Studios, Legoland is already open. Those places would be swarmed with people at amusement parks. You might even have water parks back open, and the NBA is going to be playing in an empty gym. I think it's just going to look ridiculous because people are going to be like, wait a minute. I can go get in, go to any theme park in Florida with thousands of people around, and I can't watch a basketball game. I think it's going to be crazy.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Shannon Spake swings by. Shannon, we've gone from when is NASCAR going to be back to is NASCAR going to have crowds present in your home state of Florida? What are you hearing? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I actually do. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think that these comments, Adam Stern tweeted it out. One of our NASCAR executives this past week said that when we come back to Bristol in the fall, he hopes it's a sellout. So that, I think, is a good indication that that's where they're moving, Clay. It was really weird to see Bristol Motor Speedway this past weekend without fans. A lot of people knew that this would be the one that would stand out the most because the fans are such an active part of the race right on top. I know you said you've been to an event there before, so you really feel it when the fans are missing. But I do. I think so. And I think, you know, what they're kind of pointing out is Miami. Obviously, Miami's been a lot more loose with some of the things that they've done, and I think that that would be a good test market for them to do it in. 46,000 people can fit inside the Miami Homestead Speedway. Another name that they've been throwing around is Talladega. Listen, I mean, you could fit between 80 to 175,000 people at Talladega. So that's a lot of people that you could fit in there with plenty of space in between, depending on how they decide to move forward. But I do believe that this is the direction that we're moving in.
And it's happening pretty fast, right? Because for a long time, there was a debate, oh, when is NASCAR going to come back? They get back in May. They race for a few weeks. And now we're talking about June, there being fans back present. That's also a really good sign in theory for there certainly being fans back present in some form or fashion for the NFL and college football, which has been a huge debate. But also, if NASCAR is going to bring fans back in June, how in the world could the NBA and Major League Baseball not be talking about bringing back fans as well?
Again, I mean, yeah, we've been back for 15 days, Clay. I mean,
yeah.
We started racing 15 days ago. That's not that long ago. But we all knew that when we hit the track in Darlington 15 days ago, that there were going to be a lot of eyes to see how we did it. And I do believe that everyone, I mean, it's you know, there are people who are saying, can we just take the mask off for one picture in victory lane?
Right.
Because obviously they're sticking by their protocols. There's still a limited amount of people. The drivers are still not practicing and qualifying, which, by the way, a lot of NASCAR fans are saying it's leading to better racing. The drivers are even saying that it's leading to better racing without the practice and the qualifying. So we might actually be hitting on something here, a big picture in terms of what we're seeing from the whole NASCAR model. But it's working. So far, it is working. And let's just keep our fingers crossed that it continues to move forward and work. Because again, I do think that we're setting the pace and the model for how this can be done.
So we opened up the show talking about the NBA's idea of being at Disney World. And that's an argument and an idea, I think, if you're Adam Silver and you're the executives who are considering this, that made sense in April. But you just hit on something. The situation on the ground is so dynamic that NASCAR can go 15 days ago, there weren't racing, to now, like, things are going so smoothly. Let's talk about the idea of bringing back crowds. And it's only June 3rd. By July 31st, when Disney World has been open for 3 weeks and the NBA is playing in a closed gym, but you can be riding amusement park roller coasters basically next door, doesn't the NBA plan start to look ridiculous that they'd be theoretically playing in a closed gym for all of August and September while college football and NFL teams are playing in front of at least partially full stadiums?
I think the only argument that really can be made is the direct contact that those players have with each other and how close they are. I mean, in NASCAR, it's a lot easier to social distance. It's a lot easier to wear a mask and keep your distance from the next person. These drivers are isolated in their cars, and they don't have to see people. The crew members can maintain their distance, and I think that that would be the only that would be the thing that would be brought up is there is direct contact. They are touching each other physically. They are in each other's space all the time. And I think that that would be the argument to see how that can be done. Because if one person does test positive and it is, you know, we're still learning so much about this, right, Clay? I feel like every day, even my children or our mommy, we're learning more and more about this every single day. And I'm like, yeah, I'm 10 years old. You know, you're having these conversations with your children, you know, not only about, obviously, the disease that's at our door, but I mean, what's going on in the world. But yes, I think that the fact that we're learning more and more, but I do think the direct contact is the thing that they will argue.
Okay, let's dive into the world of sports and the idea that we potentially could be back. When you think about the idea of walking into a stadium and seeing fans back, I think that fans would be so ecstatic about the idea of being able to come back. Would you, so let's start here. I've said before, I'm a season ticket holder for the Tennessee Titans. I would take my kids to a game if you gave me the opportunity to go to a game today, right? I think certainly by September I'd be willing to. Now, look, I sometimes miss games because it's been a wild weekend, and I also would just rather have a beer and stay in my house and put my feet up and watch on HD television. Do you think by the fall you would be ready to go to? I mean, you'll be on the sideline, but would you go as a fan if you were still a Dolphins fan and you're in Miami? Would you be interested in going?
I mean, it's so relative to what is actually going on at that moment.
It's hard to predict because it's 2 months away still.
Clay, if we continue to move in the direction that we're moving in, sure, I would definitely consider it. I think I might see how it goes.
Yeah.
First, I might not be the test group that goes out to the very first game, but I think I would see how it goes. Again, we don't know, right? I mean, we just don't know where it's going to be in September. Yes, I fully intend on being on the sidelines if that's the direction that Fox Sports moves in. If they say, hey, we're sending you to this game, I'm going, you know, no matter what kind of protocol it is. I adore covering the NFL, and I cannot wait to get back on the sidelines. I just don't know in terms of fans, like, are they going to have a social distance? Is everyone going to wear masks? Will it be more headache than just sitting, like you mentioned, sitting on your couch and having your beer and your television and your bathroom right there and your refrigerator right there? So I just don't know where we'll be in September. If it was right now, I'd probably say no. I'd probably say I want to wait and see a little bit. But that's just me, right? And I know that there's a lot of other people. Listen, I went out. I had my dogs bathed, groomed this weekend, and the restaurants were crowded. I saw people going into the restaurants. I saw servers everywhere. I see people walking around. I go to the grocery store. People aren't wearing masks. So I know we're all moving in a certain direction. I just have to see how much further that moves.
So think about September with me for a minute here. If everything continues to progress as we believe that it would, you could have, and I'll probably miss some here, but you could have, I believe it is the U.S. Open in golf. You could have the NFL. You could have the Kentucky Derby. You could have college football. You could have the NBA playoffs. You could have the NHL playoffs. You could have the MLS playoffs and the Major League Baseball playoffs as they finish off their season and get ready for the playoffs, I should say. I probably got NASCAR, I think, would still be going on as well. So I think I just named 9 things, and I probably missed one. There's probably a UFC fight going on in the midst of that, as well as maybe Fury Wilder as well in terms of big boxing. I'm sure Anthony Joshua might fight again. Whatever sport you like, September is on track right now, and October, to be the most packed sports calendar events of all time. Shannon, I don't even know how they fit it all in. Right.
Yeah.
Like on television, I don't know if they have enough channels to get all of the sports that will be going on all packed together in September or October.
it's going to be pretty incredible. I mean, I hate this word. I feel like it's been so overused, but as unusual, I'll say unusual because I just hate the word unprecedented. I feel like it's just been like everywhere I go, I hear that word. As unusual as it's been over the last 3 months, I mean, it's going to be even more crazy when we do go back to full-time sports. But thank God. I mean, again, I know that I'm on one side of this or maybe a little bit more on another side of this whole thing than you are. But I do believe that we have to get back to what we're doing. We have to start moving back. We can't hide in our houses, you know, which is what we've been doing. Listen, I'm still, you know, cautious, but I'm not hiding anymore, which for the first 4 or 5 weeks, I didn't leave my house, you know? So I do feel like we do need to start moving in that direction. And the fact that everything will be back, it will be crazy, right? I mean, how your DVR is going to be like, you know, full every single day when you come home to watch sports. But gosh, how great is that going to be? How great is it going to be after being just so starved for so long for live sports?
Oh, it's going to be incredible. And I talked about this with my crew is usually, you know, we really kind of take it easy in July. And maybe July's still not going to have that much going on. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Major League Baseball. But it seems like the NBA has kind of blown it, so they're going to be going late. But from whenever you get the NBA starting back up, and assuming the NHL and MLS and Major League Baseball will be going, all the way through the Super Bowl in Tampa is going to be such a bonanza for sports fans. I mean, I can't even imagine how wild it's going to be to watch a November Masters, right? Like, I love the Masters. I'm an awful golfer, but I love going out and playing, and I love watching the Masters. I can't even comprehend how crazy it's going to be to have the Masters going on the final Sunday and the Saturday head-to-head with college football and the NFL.
Well, Clay, look what it looked like when the beaches have reopened. I mean, people are insane going to, you know, we just want human connection so badly, and we want to share so much with, I mean, that's why we go to sporting events, is to share in these moments and to see these live events and to have human interaction and be excited with a group of people. Yeah, it's going to be especially if there's fans in the stand in any capacity, just the ability to kind of be around people and celebrate something that they love and something positive is going to be huge.
There's no doubt at all. Shannon, have a excellent, I know it's only, what is it, Wednesday? Every day runs together now. You find, are you like that now? Like when you sit for a minute and you're like, what day is it? I even doing a radio show where I'm supposed to remember what day it is. It's kind of like a Groundhog Day factor in some way. Everything kind of feels like the previous day.
No question. Like, I worked Race Hub on Monday, and then I don't have to work again until Sunday. And that's just so weird to me, right? To just have, like, you know, extended period of time off. Yeah, it's definitely, it's strange for sure.
By the way, your show is absolutely dominating. Tell people how they can find Race Hub if they want to keep up with NASCAR.
Race Hub's on 6 p.m. And Clay, I'm glad you brought it up. I'm really proud. We had Bubba Wallace on yesterday. You know, he's the African American, he's a black race car driver in NASCAR. And we had him on yesterday to talk about everything that's going on in the world right now. I'm going to post it on my Instagram. I thought that it was a much needed conversation with someone in our sport. And I thought it was, I'm really proud of our crew for getting it on and putting it together, and proud of Bubba for coming on to talk.
Good job. We will talk to you next week, but hopefully by next week we'll be talking about the possibility of real live fans being scheduled to be in NASCAR. Thanks.
Thanks, Clay.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Jeff, thanks for getting up. Thanks for guest hosting a couple of days in the past several. So I want to start with this. Are you surprised that the NBA would set their schedule? We just put up a poll question on this. So that Game 7 of the NBA Finals, which is, in theory, the crown jewel of the NBA season, would be going head-to-head with with Monday Night Football? Like, why wouldn't they just bump it back to Tuesday and do it on Tuesday when there's nothing going on?
I don't know what the NBA is thinking. I mean, look, I understand that they have a union. The players obviously do, and they're trying to figure out the best way to make this work, and they have to get everyone to Orlando and get it done. But, you know, 2 months seems like a long time to get this thing started. I mean,
it's crazy. It's ludicrous.
It just feels like, haven't you thought about these plans for months now? And, you know, haven't you thought about the way to make this work? And, I mean, this is the perfect opportunity. People are dying for something to watch other than the news right now, right? They want sports. Yeah. And it just feels like it's taken forever to get them back. I mean, baseball might never come back this year. So I'm glad they're coming back at some point, but they're coming back right at NFL training camp. Like, everyone's going to be watching NFL training camp and watching NFL Network and pay attention to that. And so, I'm glad they're getting back, but you know, doesn't it feel like, too, that July 31st almost feels like it might be like August 7th the way this is going, and August 14th?
Well, mention that, but it's almost 2 months from now. And think about, like, if you go back in time 2 months, we're talking about basically April 1st. Think about, like, the argument I've been making on the show is, think about how ridiculous it's going to look for the NBA to be playing in empty gyms when all of the Florida amusement parks around Disney World are filled with people. Like, my argument, I'm curious for you, to me, if I can take my kid to an amusement park in Florida, right? And I think you've done that as a father. I know you got two young ones. I've got three.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you can take your kid to an amusement park, I don't understand how you can remotely argue that I can't take my kids to a football game.
Yeah, this is going to be really interesting come the fall, especially with football, because I think that, you know, different states might have different ways to approach this. But I really think what's going to happen is that once we, you know, today is June 2nd or 3rd, right? By the time we get to, let's say, July 1st, August 1st, as kind of everyone phases into just normal life, right? I'm in North Carolina, phase three is basically like normal life. That's in a couple weeks. And you kind of get back to normal. Is that then telling people, hey, in September, okay, we can have school, gyms are open, you know, you can do all these things, amusement parks, you can go play the park, you go golf, movie theaters are open, but hey, we're going to limit football tickets to our stadium. It's a really tough sell to make, especially in college side, the ticket revenue is so important to your athletic department. And, you know, so maybe the solution, I think Iowa State was like, look, we're only going to allow in season ticket holders and students. All right, fine. I mean, you get 75% capacity, fair enough. But I just think we're going to have a lot of places where it's your own choice. If you want to go, if not, don't go. Obviously, you know more about liability concerns and the law than I do. I think that's a big issue that you're worried about. But it'd be very hard to prove, I think, that someone got sick specifically at your stadium. If they just didn't, you know, if they stayed in a bubble for 2 weeks and showed up at your stadium, maybe you could prove that. But I think that'd be hard to prove. So I think that when we get to September, we're going to see stadiums with a lot of fans in them. I can't imagine, you know, I'll talk to like Oregon. So, you know, Oregon has said, I don't know why they said it, like May 1st, hey, we're not going to have fans in stadiums until October 1st.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? What if, you know, we have Ohio State coming to Oregon this year.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Tell me you're going to play that game in front of no fans, but then the next year go to Ohio Stadium and play in front of 100,000 people? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's a competitive balance. So I understand the need for safety and for caution, but I think by September, and I've been asked this a lot, I think it's just going to be, hey, you know, your choice, just like it is now.
It seems like the NFL is basically going to see, and I saw you just tweeting about this, they're basically going to say, hey, people are going to show up for training camp. And, you know, they're not allowed. I think I saw the official rules, like they're not going to be any intra-squad scrimmages. So sometimes teams will travel and, you know, just get extra work against each other. I don't know what's going to happen with the preseason in the NFL. I kind of think that that's going to probably be played without fans because I find it hard to believe. I don't know what you think, but I find it hard to believe that they're going to open up the stadiums and everything else for preseason football. So those may be played even at the facilities. I don't even know. I'm kind of curious how that process would go. But how much of a challenge as a former guy who played is it going to be for teams, particularly rookies, to suddenly show up and be at training camp and be expected to be able to hit the ground running in terms of being ready for football?
So we did this during the lockout in 2011. If you remember, we were there all off. You know, we weren't there all season. All off season, we showed up in camp. I was with the Panthers, and we had Cam Newton as a rookie that year, and he played really well as a rookie.
Yeah.
So there are some examples of rookie quarterbacks coming in and playing. Well, I think Andy Dalton that year led the Bengals to the playoffs as a rookie. So it's been done before, but I think that's a little bit different now for a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, in 2011, we could work out as a group still. So we had, you know, we had Panther players all in Charlotte, and we had workouts together. And then I had my own separate group of offensive linemen that all worked out together. You know, that's now starting again. But for a couple months there, you had to kind of work out on your own, and you had to make sure that you're in shape and whatnot. I think that's a concern, just kind of guys being in shape. And then there's just less practice time now. In the new CBA, you're just spending less time in the field. And that, to me, is going to be tough for rookies to get up to speed. Because you have to see Zach Taylor, the coach of the Bengals, a couple weeks ago, I think in Peter King, your favorite media member, in his MMQB article or whatever it's called now, wrote about Zach Taylor, and he's like, yeah, it's great that Joe Burrow is learning the playbook, at home, but until rookies see it in person, until they do the walkthroughs, until they do practice, preseason games, right? You really don't understand. And that's the concern for me, is that they've cut down even like walkthrough times. They cut down practice times now. So there's less time for rookies to get integrated into the game. And so I really do think it's a concern. New coaches, new quarterbacks, new systems. You look at the Chiefs, the Ravens. Those teams are going to have a huge advantage early in the season because they have the same systems, veteran coaches, Chiefs returned 20 of 22 starters off a Super Bowl team. They're going to have a great season because, at least early in the season, because they have a veteran core returning.
So when you look around the NFL and think about the return of games, do you expect for crowds? We were just talking about the fact that amusement parks are going to be open and everything else. And I asked the crew, would you take your family to an NFL game? Your brother plays for the Chiefs. Let's pretend that he's playing in Charlotte. So there's a little bit of difference between getting on a plane and traveling right now as opposed to just driving to a stadium. So let's presume that your brother, the Chiefs, are coming on the road to play against the Panthers. Would you take your family? Would you feel comfortable going to a game to go watch in person?
That's a good question. A lot of it depends on what my wife, who is a nurse, hears about the numbers and what's happening kind of behind the scenes. I've gotten a little bit of just a look into like what's happening a little behind the scenes, right? Because she gets updates every day and whatnot. It really would depend on her. I would probably be okay with
first
it.
Sorry to cut you off. It's a good answer to always say for a married man to always lead with. It really would depend. Because the answer is it really would depend on many people's wives out there. So let's be honest. But let's pretend that your wife gives you the opportunity to make this choice, which we all know wouldn't happen. But your analysis of it would be what?
I probably would do it if it was my brother. I don't really feel I'd go anywhere else. I mean, I feel like if it's just specifically to see him play and I'm in Charlotte. I can kind of control a lot of how I get there and where I park and whatnot. It's been shown that being outside has not really.
It's being outdoors in open air. Yeah. The spread of the virus seems to be significantly reduced.
Right. So that's look as much as I'm more on the cautious side with a lot of what's happening right now. I went out to dinner with my wife on Saturday. We went to dinner as a family on Friday night. We're going out this Friday. So we're starting to do more things here in Charlotte. So by September, I think if I can go to dinner, if I can take my kids out, if I can if I go to the gym pretty soon. I don't know why it would seem silly to me to not go to a football game. So I think that as things open back up and we're still in a good place in September. I would now if it gets to November and December and we see a spike, maybe I change my mind. But I just think it'd be a hypocrite if I was going to the gym but wouldn't go to a football game.
How weird would it feel as a player if there is a hodgepodge of rules depending on which state you're in? So let's presume that like New York and California might have a different rule than Texas and Florida and Georgia and Tennessee do, for instance, when it comes to crowds and the percentages that can be there and things such as that?
I don't think we're going to have those issues because, look, I know that people have banged on California for how they've handled this. But you see like that as soon as kind of the pressure has been on the sports side to change and to kind of follow what other states are doing, they've changed, right? Immediately. They're like, okay, well, now we have college football. Now the Rams can work out here. Now the Lakers can work out here. And they're seeing that the pressure put on by other states that they can go ahead and start working out. And so, USC announced yesterday, hey, we're opening our, we're starting a week early, but we're opening campus. And this, presumably we're playing football. So I think we're going to have get to a place where it's going to just be uniform as far as fans. I mean, maybe California says, hey, you're 50% capacity and Florida's completely open. I mean, whatever. I mean, the Coliseum for USC games is not always full anyway, so that
right.
wouldn't be, you know, that big of a difference. But I do think it's going to be pretty close to uniform. We've seen things move fairly quickly on the football side recently, where, like I said, we've had states that have been very, you know, closed, and California just like 2 days ago, Michigan too, just like opened up like in one fell swoop. But all right, we're good to go now. Go outside and have a life. So I think we're going to be – we have a lot of time still. We have
oh,
3 months
tons.
Till the
yep.
start of the season. And I think that's a big thing people have overlooked. It's something I've argued for a while now, when like in early April, people are like, no sports. I go, but look how fast things
lots
change.
Lots of time
like,
still to come, for sure.
Yeah, lots
good,
of time.
Good stuff as always. Jeff Shorts.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Petros Papadakis, we got to you on time today. Do we got him?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. I'm just making sure. I wasn't sure if you were there. So Petros Papadakis joins us now. Want to give you an opportunity to be really optimistic. Seems like sports is moving towards being back, even more so than yesterday when we talked. Are you so psyched?
No, they're still not back.
Yeah.
Where are the sports?
I think we're going to have to go all the way through June, and then at the beginning of July, I think we'll be back.
Okay, I think is what you just said.
Yeah, well, that's because baseball players are idiots, and so are the owners, and they can't figure out a way to get this thing worked out.
Well, yeah, it's not a health issue. It's a money issue.
Yeah, that's
clearly,
frustrating.
Because that's what they're arguing about. They're not arguing about the health. I think people would have maybe a lot more sympathy if it was Mike Trout talking about his newborn or something, but it's not. It's money-related, and like we've said, you know, that turns people off even when there's not a pandemic or a bunch of social unrest.
Yep.
And people are starved for something to keep them in the house at this point, or something to watch. And baseball, and I've asked a lot of people, I've asked people that are really close with the players and completely and totally players' advocates and people that are part owners and teams and people that are media, everybody seems to agree that baseball is blowing it
yep.
right now. I mean, really, really blowing it and really missing a great opportunity because they can't figure out their own inner workings. And it will be very damaging. It's terrible for us because we're the Dodger station.
Yep.
It's terrible for the city because the Dodgers are a great uniter in the city. And they're blowing it. I mean, they really are. And we still don't know about basketball. Everybody's like, well, by Thursday, this and that, and the October 12th, you know, and I saw your tweet as a reaction to Adrian Wojnarowski's tweet yesterday. But, you know, that's still a developing situation. And I'm not saying that we're not going to have these things. And I'm not trying to be the Prince of Darkness because I don't have to try. But I am tired of misleading people. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm tired of going on the air and reading the headlines and saying, you know, hey, June 1st, baseball's aiming to get back into camp. You know, well, you know, that has come and gone.
Yep.
So I've been spewing crap for a month that didn't end up coming true. It's like trade talk or trade speculation. And it's part of this business that really is a turnoff to me because you're basically talking about something that is not going to happen or has no chance of happening or just speculating wildly in the dark. And it's unfortunate because people really do need that distraction. They don't really – there's not a lot of money involved for people unless you're talking about letting fans in and people can actually work at the stadiums. But, you know, just the distraction at this point I think would be very welcome. And it's a shame that baseball hasn't been able to figure out their own stuff. And there's a lot of people smarter than me to talk about it and the sliding money scale and all the crap they're arguing about. But whatever they're arguing about, it's happening publicly. And that's a bad look. And then when there's no arguing publicly and there's just nothing happens, that's a terrible look. I mean, baseball is really just screwing themselves here.
All right, so let's go into to an interesting question. I know California is on lockdown more similar with states like Pennsylvania and Michigan and all those places than it is with much of Florida, for instance.
But you can
Texas.
Go to a bar now.
You can in California?
Yeah.
What's the latest? Like, so what do you want to do in California that you can't do based on the rules now? Like, can you go into shopping? Can you go into restaurants?
Yeah, you can shop. I'm pretty sure you can go into a restaurant. They kind of sprung it on everybody.
Yeah.
You know, right in the middle of all of this chaos.
Yeah.
They said, hey, you can open. And, you know, a lot of people in the urban areas were like, well, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
We're going to open and then board up our building.
Yes.
But it happened, and it caught a lot of people. I know a lot of restaurant owners, and they just weren't ready because it happened. You know, they weren't ready to get their employees together and stuff like that. But I think by Monday, you'll start having a lot more activity. I mean, the beach was packed over Memorial Day weekend. They're letting people walk on the beach, walk on the sidewalks, move around a lot more. So that stuff is changed. It certainly doesn't feel like the lockdown that we were having. And more people are out and about, and more people are willing to be together and have family over and that kind of stuff. You can feel it starting to loosen. And then, of course, with all this stuff, and you see a bunch of images of people not doing anything that we've been, you know, hysterical about for months.
Right.
Whatever you feel, I mean, I think that does change the perception of what should be done.
All right. So let's, the reason why I was bringing that up is we've been having an interesting discussion because there's talk that NASCAR is going to bring fans back. NASCAR is already racing. They're doing an event down in Homestead, Florida. And I think the NASCAR people are looking around and saying, wait a minute. If you can go to Disney World and Legoland and Universal Studios and SeaWorld, if you can do all of those things with your kids, why shouldn't somebody be able to come and watch us race? I think that's a very, and they haven't said that publicly, but I think that's got to be part of the argument that they are making as to why some fans should be allowed at their event back in Florida. Does that make sense to you that if you, for instance, let's pretend that Disneyland was open, but you couldn't go watch a football game in California, would that seem fundamentally hypocritical to you that you were able to stand in line to go to Star Wars Land? I know that would probably be the most miserable thing in your life that you could have to do, but that you
don't like lines, but yeah. I do like Star Wars.
All right, so if you were...
I mean, not like a crazy Star Wars guy. Like, I can identify probably more Star Wars people than your average guy.
Have you been to the new Star Wars Land?
No.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, that's crazy. Right. Yeah, all right. So let's pretend, though, that you could go to an amusement park in California like
It's not congruous.
Right?
None of
like,
this is.
The rules should exist. Like, if you could stand in line for an amusement park, you should be able to go to a game.
Right, and you should be able to sign a waiver
right.
and go to the game. I think that... That will loosen and change once we get closer to the fall. We heard about the state of Iowa. I've seen your tweets yep. about the state of Iowa. I did a game in Kinnick this year and a game at Jack Trice Stadium. I've been to Ames and Iowa City. I love doing football in that state. I love the people in that state. I have no idea where they come from.
Yeah.
I land the plane and there's no one around and there's no houses and suddenly there's 50,000 or 70,000 people in these stadiums, one of which waving at a bunch of kids in a children's hospital. It's the most touching thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So they're planning on having people, and if they all sign a waiver or whatever and they all want to be there, I mean, that's the thing about college football. I mean, those 6 or 7 dates for home games, and I think we might have talked about this, they're really important to people. I mean, they're a huge deal to people, those season ticket moments. And it's not just the game. It's being with all your family and friends and tailgating and seeing people you went to school with. You know, it's a real social event and a huge part of life in the Midwest and the South, especially those college games. And I don't think that people are going to give up that culture so easily. Especially in light of months and months and months of being kind of manipulated or locked down or however you want to put it. So I think I'm much more optimistic about fans in the stands in the fall than anybody else, not because I'm a doctor, just because I do this for work and that's my vibe in the middle of the country. You know, most of the games I call, 90% of them are not on not in California,
right?
And 80% of them are not on the West Coast. So I think that there's a lot different vibe in a lot of different places. You know, and people out here want to play. High school kids want to play. You know, we want to get back to Little League in the summer. You know, they sent us an email about that, you know, to get our kids back out on the fields. And all of that stuff is important, and it has to happen safely, but it does have to happen.
All right, so USC has announced they're coming back. For a long time, the Pac-12, there was a lot of fear. Oh, my God, is the Pac-12 going to play? Is it not going to play? It seems to me, and I know you're a huge college football fan, as you mentioned, you call a lot of games. It seems to me that almost everybody in college football is going to play. Not to say that one or two individual schools could not make the decision to say, hey, you know what, we're not going to play. Like, could Rutgers, you know, for instance, because they're in New York City, or Boston College because of the difficulty of Boston or something like that. Is it possible that one of those schools could decide not to play a season? I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely. But the major conferences are going to play.
You know, the first school to pull all their students out was who? Amherst, right? The number one liberal arts college in the country, or one
right.
of them. To me, if somebody's not going to play, it's going to be a Stanford.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody like that. You know, somebody, you know, or your alma mater, Vanderbilt. Or what is it, your alma mater, DeVry?
Yeah, that's what I was accused of. Yeah, I actually have double alma maters. I've got George Washington, which doesn't have a football team, and then I've got Vanderbilt.
Yes, I know. But And what's wrong with DeVry, by the way?
Does it still exist?
If you watch day TV in L.A., it does, baby.
There you go.
And so does Bryman College, where you can learn, you know.
I remember ITT Tech.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Does ITT Tech still exist?
Yeah, and my favorite, well, a big one down here in L.A. was Dootson Driving School.
Oh, I don't know that one. Is that truckers?
Yeah, and they were, exactly, and they were legendary commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and you got to look them up on YouTube, but and I know the guys in the studio in L.A. are laughing because Debbie Dootson would do the commercials, and she was the daughter of the Dootson driving guy, and she would say at the end of every commercial, Dootson driving schools are the best. Take it from me. I'm Debbie Dootson.
That's right.
And I'd be like, well, why should I take it from Debbie Dootson?
This is, you know, local ads. So people listen all over the country, but there are two that come to mind that I used to experience growing up. So first of all, in Nashville, there was a Watson. I don't know if Watson still exists, but if you were anywhere in the Nashville area, it was like a store that sold everything. Like, you could get a tanning bed and like a jacuzzi and like a, you know, like a child playset. Like, I don't even know what their overall business model was, but the guy had a really hot girl who was on the Watson's girl. She didn't have a name. She would close out the commercials. It was like the owner Watson guy. I think his last name was Watson. And then he just had a super hot girl. And look, I was like, you know, 11 or 12. There's probably like 6 years or 8 years of this super hot girl. And she didn't really have, you know, like, I think their tagline was always at the end, it's hot and we could put you in a pool. And it was just a hot girl standing beside the Watson's guy. Nobody really knew who it was. Was it his daughter? Was it like his side chick? Was it his mistress? Was it like a super younger wife? I still don't even know.
It was
right
like
now.
Wearing a Rolex
yeah,
for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen The Red House from North Carolina?
Oh, no.
Oh, where black people and white people buy furniture?
Oh, that's amazing.
That's a little bit of a parody, but it's awesome, and it's a real place. We love the Red House on the Petros and Money Show. L.A. is really the king of local TV idiot commercials.
Let me tell you one more, this everybody who is in the Washington, D.C. area will know this. Shoe City. Shoe City had some of the – and they had all the local athletes – from the D.C. area in them. It's totally
Dexter Manley.
Danny G or somebody else, pull up Shoe City. They had their own song. Have you ever heard the Shoe City ads before, Patrick? You would love these ads.
I haven't, but I embrace all – New Orleans, there's like long mashups of all the New Orleans local commercials from the 80s and 90s that you can watch on YouTube. I mean, that kind of stuff. We had Cal Worthington in L.A. who would have like a tiger or an elephant on a car lot. I mean, we've seen the gambit, but Debbie Dootson She was a favorite of mine. And I also like the education connection. Remember that one? I'm taking my classes online.
I remember
getting my degree on my own time. Education connection allowed me to get my college for free.
That was, can somebody get the Shoe City song? I just remember Shoe City, My City. That was like the tagline. I mean, that was like the go-to line as a part of the Shoe City song that they would play.
I found something that says Shoe City, Make Your Move. Let's see if this sounds familiar.
All
to
right,
you.
Let me listen. That's it. No fashion, we no style. These Shoe City. I don't know if somebody can. Yeah, that's it.
Is that Kenny Riley?
Oh, we gotta like turn it up.
Turn it all the way. No one likes the city
like Shoe City. I mean, am I like, so when we were in college? Yeah, every time Shoe City commercials came on, the entire, like, everybody, like, wherever you were, would drop everything for the latest Shoe City commercial, because you just heard the audio, but awesome. You didn't know which athlete locally was going to show up in the Shoe City. I have no idea what they paid these guys to be in the Shoe City commercials, but I remember LeVar Arrington, Clinton Portis, like, whoever the most famous D.C. area athletes were, they would like have a cameo in the middle of the Shoe City song where like they're dancing around with a shoe or something. I mean, they're some of the greatest local ads ever, but that's that song, I mean, it was unbelievable.
Have you ever heard of a Crazy Gideon?
No.
He was a wild Sephardic Jewish guy in the industrial district of downtown LA.
Yep.
Who had a discount electronics store known as Crazy Gideon's.
Yes.
You could look up those.
I have that. Take a listen. I don't care how many Dutchy Cup code them with DVD. Regular price, $3.99. Right now, $1.99. He smashes everything. $1.99. DVD for $29. Or DVD VCR for $49. Otherwise, I'll break my head. What do you want for my life? I'm giving you for $79. Home theater. If you don't buy for Crazy Gideon, you have a problem with your head. Before I change my mind.
Oh, that's amazing.
He ended that TV spot right there by smashing a television onto the concrete.
That's what great entertainers do.
Yeah.
Does that business still exist?
I embrace local television, and we embrace local business, and I hope that they can be open soon.
This is going to be an incredible segment one day where we just have all the greatest local ads. I always think, like, did you guys see the Scottie Pippen ad that was out from, like, the sub place that he did?
Oh, yeah. What about – well, we had the Mozgov get that weak stuff out of here. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, what about Coach O and the Hummer? That's one of the greatest. Can somebody grab the Coach
O? I've seen it.
Yeah, but people out there who haven't heard it, Coach O is now a national championship winning coach. But when he was with Ole Miss, they were like, Coach O, you know, every coach gets a car dealer. You know, like whatever job you get in college, there's always some rich/sleazy car dealer that immediately is attached to the program. And they, you know, give a constant new car to all the coaches to drive around in and everything else.
Here's one of them.
Here's Coach O for Hummer. This is real. This was airing all over like the Mississippi area when he was Ole Miss coach.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I believe the Hummer is the best vehicle on the road. Big, tough, aggressive, and it represents everything that we want at Ole Miss. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer. Tell them about it, JoJo.
Mississippi, they are here. The new Rogers Dabbs H3 Hummers are here.
The folks at Rogers Dabbs Hummer are first-team players. Come see them.
Rogers Dabbs and Hummer like nothing else. New H3 starting at just $32,000.
Love it.
So when he says, tell him about it, JoJo, JoJo, the Mississippi Hummer dealer owner, looks exactly like you would think JoJo, the Mississippi Hummer dealer, would look like. I mean, just that entire ad is a work of art. I don't
know
if they...
Well, who deals Hummers in Mississippi? I mean, I did a TV ad when I was a young kid for Felix Chevrolet and Cadillac, one of my favorite car dealerships, right by USC, and
well
the
done.
Little cartoon cat
well done,
did
yes.
talk to me.
You had a cartoon cat that you did it with?
Yeah,
like
I was
Paul
like,
Abdul
tell him,
and
Felix.
Those.
You know, I had to look at the hood of the car where he wasn't really there and be like, kill him, Felix.
So that was just like the Paul Abdul ad, right? Like MC Scat Cat?
Well, that wasn't an ad, as you know. That was one of the greatest videos of our time.
Paula Abdul had to act alongside of MC Scat Cat, and you had to act alongside of Felix.
Yeah, and Christopher Lloyd had to act alongside Roger Rabbit, you know? I mean, there's
but your great actors have to do it sometimes.
I just sent you guys the Red House so you can watch it during
maybe
the commercial.
Maybe important to watch and maybe air as we're trying to bring the races back together again.
Oh, the Red House will do it. That is a huge PMS staple.
Yeah, we need to play that. I haven't heard it. All right. Thank you for coming on with us 2 days in a row.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And hopefully by next week we'll have actual news. But by the way, you have been saying for a long time that if the Dodgers come back, you want the Dodgers to come back with fans present, right?
Right. Like, it's probably not going to happen.
But it might happen before the season is over that people are able to go out to Chavez Ravine and watch games.
God, I hope so.
If the precedent is starting that NASCAR is going to have fans this month, then maybe by July, August, and into September, things can change quite a bit. Good stuff as always. Talk to you next week.
Bye, Clay.
Thank you. That's Petros Papadakis at the Old P on Twitter. We come back. Tough news for the Tiger King, for Joe Exotic.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.